Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, turn it to 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to take a look at verse 1. We're talking about obedience in Christ, or obedience to Christ, and this is a follow-up to the messages of the last few weeks when we've been talking about Jonah. And of course, you remember with Jonah that he was disobedient when God first called him. In Jonah 1:1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." And verse 3, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And so we see Jonah is in full-scale rebellion. He's in all-out disobedience to the Lord. And many times we get that way. Many times we run from the Lord. We run from the presence of the Lord. The Lord gives us a call, or he gives us a destiny, and he speaks over us through dreams, visions, through the spoken word, through the written word. He speaks to us, and yet in our rebellion, in our disobedience, we take off and we go the other way. And so we have a lot to relate to in terms of how we perceive Jonah. He is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, because God eventually let Jonah die and go into the belly of the whale, and he died there, and he cried out from the belly of the whale. He cried out to the Lord God because he knew God could save him. And so we can relate to Jonah in that way too. Many times we get in a situation and a circumstance where we have to cry out to the Lord, where we have to come to a place where we realize that we are broken, and that we can't fix what we're broken from, and we can't fix the situation that we're in, and so we have to cry out to the Lord. And if you're out there today, brother and sister, and you are in a place of brokenness, maybe your finances are broken, or your health is broken, or you have addictions, or you have things that are dismantling your plan for your life, understand this: when you cry out to the Lord, he can then take you and he can move you into a place where you will be blessed, and a place where he can start to shape you, and where he can start to mold you and conform you into the image of his son Jesus Christ. Well, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And so Paul's desire is that we come to know Jesus Christ. God's desire is that you come to know Jesus Christ. God's plan for your life is that you come to know Jesus, is that you imitate Jesus. And if you're not doing that, if you're running just as Jonah did, if you're running the other direction, if you're headed to Tarshish, I urge you today to come around, to turn around, and to be obedient and speak against those areas in your life where you are rebelling against the will of God in your life. Romans 8:29, Paul tells us, "For those that he foreknew, for those that God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus Christ." And so God foreknew you, he foreknew me, and he predestined you to be conformed into the image of his son Jesus Christ. God's desire is that you become like his son Jesus Christ, not only in saying yes to salvation, that I want to be saved, that I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but also that you live each and every day with the Lord Jesus directing you, with the Holy Spirit directing you, and the decisions that you make each and every day bring glory to God in your life. And if you do that, beloved, if you'll take counsel from the Holy Spirit, if you'll seek God and his wisdom and his guidance, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, tells us in Hebrews 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is also the beginning of wisdom. And so if you have a fear of God, if you have a fear of the Lord, and by fear I don't mean you're cowering in fear and unable to do anything, but I mean you just have a healthy respect of the Lord. If you have a healthy respect for his place in your life, that you are submissive to him, that the rebellion is removed from your life and the disobedience, and then you become like Jonah. And after you cry out to the Lord says, yes, I'm going to shape you. Yes, I'm going to mold you. Yes, you will be conformed into the image of my Son, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to shape you and mold you and make you into that image. Well, as we look at the lines of authority in our lives, as we look at how God wants us to line up in our lives, we look at verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul says, "For I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Well, he's speaking here in a family sense or in a family setting. He says, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And so as we see God's lines of authority, we have God the Father, we have Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, and then we have man, and if you're married, we have woman, or if you have a girlfriend, you are the head over her, and then we have the children coming in underneath the parents. And so that is God's lines of authority. God is a God of order. He always establishes authority, and he places authority figures over you. Every single person here listening to me today, you're under somebody's authority, whether you're at your workplace or you're in your church. The pastors and the elders are over you. Even when you're driving down the road, the lines of authority are established, and the police or the highway patrol are over you. And so as you come under authority, as you recognize that you have authority figures that have been placed over you by God, when you accept that fact, when you accept that fact that you are under authority, then it is much easier for you to be obedient. It is much easier for you if you give up your fighting the authority, if you give up your rebellion, and in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual realm, and just accept the fact that Jesus Christ wants to be in authority over you, that the Holy Spirit wants to counsel you with wisdom. And as you do that, as you accept that fact, then your walk on this earth will start to take on a walk of joy. And even your trials, your circumstances, your difficult situations, even those ways, you will accept the fact with joy that God, the authority figure over you, and Jesus Christ, whom he has placed in authority over you, those circumstances, those situations that God brings into your life, you can give joy to the Lord. You can have joy because you know that they come from God, that these situations are allowed into your life, sometimes even put into your life by God, so that you will have joy and that you can be eventually conformed and you can come to know Jesus Christ in the same way that Jesus was under submission to God, his Father. Well, in Hebrews 12:5, we see some interesting scripture about how God brings people under his authority, and he disciplines them, and he chastens them so that they'll be coming into conformity and so that they will no longer be in rebellion to him. Hebrews 12:5 tells us this: "After you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." And so if you're a child of God, if you are a son of God, and you know that the Lord is your God and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, expect to be chastened, expect to be rebuked at times, expect to be scourged at times. Verse 6 in Hebrews 12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives." And so you know when you had an earthly father, you know when your father sometimes got out the stick or got out the paddle or the belt, and he did a little operation, you might say, a little spanking of your behind or whatever, that is the will of God, that our earthly fathers correct us. That is the will of God, that our earthly fathers chasten us and scourge us. And it is for our benefit. If we never got spanked, or if we never got scolded or chastened, we know that many times kids grow up spoiled, and they grow up thinking that they're running the household. And so as our earthly fathers chasten us, so too does our Lord God Almighty chasten us. And he does it in ways that shapes us and molds us. He does it in ways that conforms us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, because God is not so concerned about your happiness, but God is concerned about your holiness. And Hebrews 12 in verse 7, it says, if you endured chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father, who an earthly father, does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, in which you have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And so Paul says in Hebrews that we are illegitimate if we have not been chastened, that we are not true sons. And so as a true son of God, as one who accepts the fact that God is your father, expect to be chastened, expect to be conformed, expect to have trials and tribulations, hardships, expect to have challenges, mountains in your life that you can't move and that you can't remove under your own power, under your own natural strength. You cannot move these mountains. And so just as Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale, just as Jonah cried out, he was dead in Sheol. He was in the belly of Sheol. It tells us in Jonah 2 verse 1, and Jonah prayed to the Lord from the fish's belly. And he cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And God answered me out of the belly of Sheol, or out of the belly of hell I cried, and you, God, have heard my voice. And so sometimes we have to get down, we have to get broken, we have to get down to the lowest point, we have to get in the belly of the whale and in the belly of Sheol. And some people have often said that when you are down on your back and you're looking up, that's when God can start to really work in your life. When you're down and you're looking up at God, that's when he can really start to move in your life. And so for those of us that have a rebellious nature or a stubborn nature, just understand this: God chastens you and God scourges you or whips you because he wants you not to be happy, but he wants you to have holiness. And as you become holy, as you become more like Jesus Christ, then you have the mind of Christ, and that joy, that happiness, that desire to fulfill the work of God in your life, that desire to fulfill holiness in your life, then that is what truly makes you happy, and that is what truly brings the joy into your life that you don't have when you're in rebellion and when you're serving the devil in your life. Well, Jesus was obedient to the Father. Jesus was obedient in every way. Philippians 2:5 tells us that let the mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Let the mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Verse 6, for being in the form of God, Jesus did not consider it robbery, or he did not consider it to be equal with God. In other words, he submitted to God in every way. Even though he was God himself in the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity had ultimate, utmost respect for each other in the Trinity. They had love for each other in the Trinity, and they were submissive and obedient to each other. Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father, and the Holy Spirit was obedient to the Father. The Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, is obedient to the Father. And it tells us in Philippians 2:6, he who being in the form of God, that is Jesus himself, did not consider it of any consequence, or did not desire it to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. And so Jesus Christ humbled himself in every way. He became a bondservant, and to be a bondservant means that you've been given your release by your master. As a bondservant, you've been given your release, but you choose not to go. You choose not to take your freedom. You say, I want to stay here and serve. And even though I know I have my freedom, I want to stay here and serve. And so if you really want to serve the Lord in your life, if you really want to become obedient to God in your life, you have to take the attitude of a bondservant. And that is, you have the freedom to be in rebellion. You have the freedom to serve Satan if you want to, or serve the devil, but you choose to stay, and you choose to be in obedience to God, because that's what a bondservant does, is even though they have the freedom to leave, they choose to stay and be in obedience and serve the master whom has set them free. And it says Jesus here humbled himself, verse 8 in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. And as we remember back to the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden, he was actually sweating blood. He was sweating drops of blood as he was praying, because he knew he was going to have to be obedient. He knew he was going to the cross. He was going to suffer unspeakable torture, unspeakable death. And he knew he was going to be obedient. He cried out to the Lord. He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup could pass from me, I pray, Lord, that you would take this cup from me. But if not, then thy will be done. And of course, we know that God's will was done. We know that the cup of suffering, Jesus had to drink from it. And he did. He willingly went to the cross. When the soldiers came to get him, Jesus said, I could have called down 10,000 angels. I could have called down all the help I needed and wiped out this legion of soldiers. And yet Jesus said, I came to bring glory to my Father. I came to serve him. I came to be a bondservant to him. And so I will drink of this cup of suffering, and I will drink of this cup, and I will be obedient and go to the cross, even to the most unspeakable, horrific death, that death on the cross. And verse 9 in Philippians 2, it says, therefore God has exalted Jesus and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue, verse 11, shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some tongues won't confess it until they get in hell, but every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God the Father, that the Holy God, Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is our God. Every tongue is going to confess that, and some people are not going to make that confession until it's too late for them to reside for all eternity with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit and the angels and the saints of all time in heaven. They're going to make that confession too late. And beloved, I hope that's not you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you do that today. Don't let this day pass. Don't let this message pass and fall on deaf ears. Lord, I pray that you remove that deaf and dumb spirit from those out there listening to me today. I pray today that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and confess his name and get down on their knees, and that their tongue would confess, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want to serve you. I want to be a bondservant to you. I want to be conformed into your image and be just like you, to have your mind, to have your attitude, to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that today, God will be faithful and true to fill you up with the Holy Spirit and take away your sins. As you repent and as you commit yourself and be obedient to the Lord in your life. Well, Jonah, in verse 1 of chapter 3, we know that Jonah had a change of heart. He had a change of his mind. He had a change of attitude. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and then he went to Nineveh and he preached the word of God. And I pray, brothers and sisters, today, as the word comes to you a second time, many of you maybe have been disobedient in your life, you've been in rebellion, and I just pray today that you will commit to the Lord in your life, that you will say, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to be a bond servant to you, I want to seek you with all my heart, strength, mind, and soul, and you let the Lord work in your life, you let the Lord take over your life, and if you do that today, brother and sister, you will be on your way to a lifetime and then an eternity of serving the Lord and an eternity of being with the Lord and the joy of knowing him for all eternity. Well, if you make any kind of decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me rejoice with you. Let me get you some information to start you on your Christian walk. Or maybe you just have some questions you want to have answered. pureprairie@hotmail.com is my contact. And I just pray that this message not fall on deaf ears today, that you will go to Nineveh, that you'll take up the cross, and you'll go to Nineveh, and you'll preach the word of God for the Lord. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.